I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report podcast. My guest today is Todd Coconato. He's written a very important book called Come Out From Among Them, and we're going to find out about the angelic visitation that prompted this book. And I'm so happy to be able to welcome Todd, who I have known for quite a few years and have so much respect for. And I hardly know how to introduce you. I'm going to have to almost read your bio. I see you as a media guy. That's how I first got to know you, with your podcast and your website. But now you're a pastor. You're involved in all these different ministries. I can't hardly believe it. It says here that you're an ordained minister and national evangelist who's fervently praying and believing for a reawakening in America.
Yes.
And you speak at conferences, churches. It's just been amazing for me to see in the last couple of years, all the venues like Clay Clark's Reawaken America and a lot of other things. And we were able to publish this book. So I'm the proud publisher. So full disclosure, I'm pushing this book because I believe in this book. And I believe that the message is very, very timely. So why don't I let you talk instead of me and just ask you to tell us about this angelic visitation that happened that prompted this book.
Absolutely. Well, Steve, I'm first of all just so thankful to be here with you and so thankful for the work that you do. And it's just so exciting to see what God is doing at Charisma. An honor to be published by Charisma. And you know, this book, I'm not a big book writer. I really believe in sending my folks that follow me, you know, read the Bible. You know, this is the most important thing. But the one night when I was in bed with my wife and my daughter, and my daughter's very young, and so she sleeps in our bed sometimes. I'm sitting there in the middle of the night, and there's something about that 3 o'clock hour. I don't know what it is, but all of a sudden I'm awakened. I believe I was awakened, but it could have been a really powerful dream. Either way, there's a massive angel at the edge of my bed. And, you know, just like in the scripture, whenever there's an angelic visitation, the first response is paralyzed with fear because, you know, here's this massive angel. But then I could sense it was holy. It was of the Lord. It wasn't anything demonic or anything like that. And so then there was a peace that came over me. And the messenger angel said two things and two things only. He said, come out from among them and be consecrated. Come out from among them and be consecrated. And as soon as he said that, he was gone. And I was literally just sitting there in awe of what just happened. I get up out of the bed. I walk into my prayer room. And for the rest of the night, I couldn't sleep. And I just, those words kept going through my head. Come out from among them, be consecrated. Come out from among them, be consecrated. Now, I've been a pastor for over 20 years. You know, we pastored in LA for 17 years. You know, you would think am I not consecrated, Lord? I mean, is there something in my life that I'm doing that doesn't please you? And obviously we all have fallen short of the glory of God. And every day we do things that we need to repent of. But what I'm saying is, for the most part, I feel like I live a pretty consecrated life. So I'm trying to figure out what this message actually meant. And so for the next couple of months, I just couldn't shake it because it was one of these defining moments in my life and in my walk. You know, it's not every day that you have some encounter like that. So, you know, for the next couple of months and even the next year, I was just praying over this message. And what I found is the Lord kept revealing things to me about the church, about the state of the body of Christ, about how we got to where we are as a nation, why so many churches in our country are pretty dead, why there hasn't been a move of God like many of us have been praying for so long, and why the Lord, we're in this period, I believe, that's really disruptive. It's a real disruptive period. I mean, what we went through in the pandemic, the churches that had, you know, were shut down and certain pastors were arrested and fined. And, you know, we never thought that anything like that would happen in America. You had Walmarts open, you had Targets open, you had strip clubs open, you had marijuana dispensaries open, but yet there was a real focus on shutting down the church. And at the time we were in California, and there was our governor there, Newsom, was even saying we couldn't even worship. We couldn't even sing. That singing was banned, you know, which of course we didn't adhere to. But
you're right. We thought this would never happen in America. It's shocking. And I'm glad you explained that the way you did, because this come out from among them, and you refer to yourself. That's much more than just you, Todd.
Yeah.
You know, it's a message for the body of Christ. And there's all this stuff going on. And to some extent, it's our generation's version of all kinds of demonic attack and turmoil and spiritual, the church being a spiritual desert, which has happened in other generations as well.
That's right.
But God put us on earth at this time to speak up. And you know, you referred to earlier about a book and the Bible and all that kind of stuff. And right. Interestingly, last night, I was at a meeting where Benny Hinn was speaking.
Right.
And he made the point about somebody reading his book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit, which was right. a mega bestseller. And this person he was talking about actually came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a part of reading his book. It impacted many, many people.
Right.
And he made the point that, you know, you read a book like that and it impacts you. And maybe if you felt you missed something, you might read it twice. But the Bible, we should be reading every day.
That's
of
right.
course, it's the Word of God.
Yes.
But it's long. You know, it's like over 1,000 pages, you know, depending on the size of the type, I guess.
Right.
It's 66 books. It's Old Testament, New Testament. I mean, even the plan of salvation is kind of interspersed in different scriptures throughout the Bible.
Yes.
Where does somebody begin? But God raises up leaders like you to minister in different ways. And you do minister. You minister publicly at your church, at conferences. Nowadays, we are able to minister through video.
That's right.
But it's also very important in print, and many, many books since the printing press was invented by Gutenberg have really had an impact. Pilgrim's Progress. I mean, there's so many we could name.
Right.
And what it is that someone like you helps the reader to understand what God is saying. And it is like you might even in a message, you could, in fact, you probably have preached messages on this. But a book is permanent.
This
That's book right. will be around long after you and I are gone.
Yes.
And also, for some reason, even in this digital age, people still want books.
Yes.
It's authoritative. People believe it. And in fact, I was explaining to someone recently that the word author, like author of a book, comes from the word authority. In our culture, we think of authors as having authority, and certainly you do. And that's why we were interested in publishing this book, because this is a message that the body of Christ in every generation needs to know. But why do you think it's particularly important right now? And what are you hoping that the individual reader and the body of Christ gets out of this very important new book?
Thank you for explaining that, Steve, because I think you did a great job of explaining why we do have these are preachings. What you said, we're literally preaching a message that's a now word, and that's what this is. You know, if you look at it like the chapter one, the rising of the remnant, where we came from, I explain, you know, why there's this undercurrent of revival that I believe has started already in our nation, where we're seeing an awakening happening. And praise God, you know, in the middle of some of the most egregious things that we're seeing, I mean, the curriculums in the schools, the infringement on religious liberty and freedom. We talked about the dead churches and, you know, the dry bones and all these different things. But in the midst of that, there is a hunger unlike anything I have ever seen in all years of ministry. We've never seen lines of people so long. We've never seen so many people wanting to get baptized. I'm witnessing people leaving their drug sacks at the altar, leaving things. I mean, we were at this tent crusade, and literally there was a line that just kept going for like 2 hours, 3 hours of people that just kept coming up and wanting prayer. And they were getting slain in the spirit right there on the gravel. And there was a pile of all these different things that these folks that literally came to a revival meeting had in their pockets. How remarkable is that? So, you know, we don't think about this sometimes, but even the people that are in the congregation, they have these things on them. I would have never thought about that. I mean, who would think they'd have a drug sack of cocaine or something on them in the middle of a church service? But yet these people had these things and they were leaving them. And I really believe this is a time of the misfits and the prodigals and those that are really seeking, that are seeking for authenticity. You know, there's a recent study that came out, and it said that this generation Z are looking for two things in the church. And what they said is so remarkable. One is sound doctrine, and the other one is authenticity. Sound doctrine and authenticity. Who would have ever thought that? So they don't want the big, you know, lights and fog machines and all the technology and all the different things. And I'm not saying that those things are bad, but what they're looking for is authenticity. They want real. They're hungry. And they've tried these things that the world says are successful, and it hasn't filled the void. And I can speak to that personally. I was a Hollywood actor for many years, and I spent time with, you know, some household names, some of the most famous people that are in the world. And I don't say that to brag, but it was something that the Lord allowed me to live through.
All right. Drop a couple names. We want to know.
Well,
I know enough about your background. I was shocked to find out you were an actor. I frankly didn't think you were that handsome myself.
Thank you.
tell them about a couple of the programs,
because
I just think that people are interested in that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, here's the thing. I was an extra. I was a working actor. I did a lot of reoccurring guest roles. I wasn't on like a series, you know, permanently as a role, but, you know, I was around a lot of famous people, Alyssa Milano, Tony Danza. I was on Who's the Boss a few times. I was on Jake and the Fat Man, 30 something, General Hospital, did a lot of principal roles in commercials, which pays very well. You know, I had a really good manager and I was young. I started at like 8 years old and I did it till about 17. So, you know, throughout those years, I worked very consistently. I did a lot of my schooling on the set in Hollywood, and I got to see under the covers, and I got to see and know a lot of these people personally. And what always impacted me was that I knew a lot of my friends had their posters on the wall, and I would be hanging with them. And here's this person that all these people look up to, and they say, this is success, and this is, you know, what everybody wants to aspire to be. And these people, Steve, are some of the most broken, insecure people you would ever meet. And most people wouldn't understand that. And they were looking to fill a void. And so what the world labels as success is not. And I think there's a disruption even in Hollywood. We see this happening right now. Look at this movie, Sound of Freedom, that's out. You have Disney that literally put millions and millions of dollars into promoting their new Indiana Jones film. And yet over the 4th of July weekend, what beats them in the box office? This crowdfunded Christian, you know, themed film that's basically talking about child sex trafficking, which is absolutely insane and egregious, and everybody needs to go see this film. But look at the disruption that's happening, where this film is it's like a David versus Goliath. And this is what we're seeing with shows like yours, Steve. People are coming in the droves to listen to the new media and to the alternative media because they don't trust the mainstream corporate media anymore. They're boycotting large corporations because they don't like what they're pushing, like in the month of June with all the Pride stuff. They don't like it. So now there's major disruptions with Anheuser-Busch and Target and some of these other companies. All these things are happening at once. And I believe this is all part of this undercurrent of revival. And so back to the message of the book, the Lord said, we have to come out from among the Babylon system. We have to
Let's talk about that, because, you know, I'm a generation in front of you, and as I was coming up, I could see that Christians, especially let's call them spirit-led Christians, Pentecostals, were becoming more acceptable in the mainstream, partly because Methodists and Presbyterians and Roman Catholics were speaking in tongues, and
right,
and there were a few celebrities. Then we started seeing Christian music being a whole lot more like pop music.
Oh, yeah.
And Christian artists, the greatest thing they could do was to have a crossover hit,
right,
which meant that it was not only Christian, and usually it had Christian lyrics, of course, and, you know, some redemptive value, but it would be crossover to the secular side.
Right.
Then we saw the seeker-sensitive church, where you'd, yes, get people to come to church because they were seeking something and you were sensitive to it. But it's almost like the pendulum, in my opinion, has swung too far. And now you're saying that we don't need to strive to be like that. We've got to come out,
right,
from among them and almost have an alternative culture, because the main culture, you know, when I was growing up, there was a lot of bad things. I mean, we don't have time to talk about all, but a lot of, especially in the South where I lived, was hypocrisy, where people would live like the devil on Saturday night, but be on a church pew on Sunday morning because it was expected and because it was good for business.
Yes.
Now I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you don't have that gray anymore. I mean, you're in or you're out.
There it is.
And you seem to be sensing what I'm sensing too, in lots and lots of ways. The people are really, really hungry.
Yes.
It's almost more when Christianity is fought. And you, a minute ago, you rattled off a bunch of things. Who would have thought the government would ever arrest pastors for having church like they did with Rodney Howard Brown,
right,
or say that you couldn't sing when you went to church because germs in the air or whatever.
Right.
I mean, we have constitutional rights that do not go away when there's a medical emergency.
Yep.
Yet there were people in authority. You mentioned Gavin Newsom. He was only the one of many who were like almost too eager to use the emergency to clamp down on the church.
Yes.
So talk to me about this coming out. What are people coming out from, other than the obvious, and where do you think this is going?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think they're coming out of apathy. They're coming out of complacency. They're coming out of looking like and acting like the world. Like you mentioned, that seeker-friendly culture, and I understand the concept, but the problem is we can't water down the gospel. You know, we have, it's the power of God and the salvation. It's the lamp unto our feet. It's the sword of the Spirit. And so what I think God is doing right now is this disruption and all these things that he's allowed have caused there to be a real separation of the wheat from the tares. You're seeing now who the generals are, those that were willing to stand. You mentioned my friend, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. I mean, he's had the stand consistently for I don't even know how many days now where they've been meeting ever since his arrest. You know, what was meant for evil has been turned around for good, you know, and this has happened in so many cases where we're seeing tents popping up all over the country. You know, you got Mario's tent, which is in Colorado this week. I mean, there's so many different things that are happening. There's a massive move of God that the people are awakening in the droves, and they're looking for leaders that are willing to stand for the entirety of the word of God. And the Bible says, you know, call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. You know, the Second Chronicles 7:14 still applies. It's the recipe for revival. And if we start talking about the blood of Jesus, the cross of Calvary, repentance of sin, we start actually calling out sin instead of watering it down and not calling it out. This is going to be what sets people up for success. What's the main thing? If you think about it in the scripture, he says, go and make disciples of the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If we do that, we are in the will of the Father, and he's going to anoint and appoint us because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. What do we need in this country right now when we see such confusion, such wickedness? If you go on any streaming platform right now, I mean, it's almost unbelievable how overt it is. I mean, shows like Lucifer, and you look at Sam Smith during the Grammy Awards where he's up there with the devil horns. I mean, it couldn't get more blatant, the battle that we're dealing with. If anybody doesn't see it, it's almost remarkable how they could not see it at this point. So to your point, the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And that's what coming out from among them is. It's doing our part, our best as a believer to truly follow the commandments of Scripture. And in doing so, we get the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and we go out, we cast out, and we drive out. It's that Greek word ekbalo. Go out, cast out, and drive out. That's what believers in Christ are meant to do. We're meant to, look, culture is downstream of the church. If the church gets it right, if we get empowered and we're that Philadelphian church, not the Laodicean church, but the Philadelphian church, and we walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that's how this nation changes. And so I think God has allowed this disruption and all these things to happen to really see who is in, who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. And those that do that are going to see powerful things. We've seen mama bears step up. I've seen people that were not active in anything. I mean, they become super powerful anointed activists. I mean, I was just at NRB recently, and I was seeing some of these people there. I mean, only years ago, they were doing something completely different, but God has put something in their spirit, a passion, a real mission that he's given them for this hour, and he's anointed them, and he's put them before leaders and government officials and school boards. And so this is the church waking up. So that's why I say, hold on. I don't believe God is done with America, but it's time that we get active and get involved.
Boy, I love your enthusiasm and your passion. And I want to walk through the book with you. But when people are watching or listening to something like this, you never know how long. So I want to be sure to tell people that they can get their copy of the book at mycharismashop.com, which is our publishing house direct-to-consumer website. That's an easy, quick way to get a copy. But also go on amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, christianbook.com, anywhere you want to buy books, including a lot of stores. It's just hard to say the names of stores. And you need to get this because in a way, and I'll get Todd, I'll get you to explain better than I can, but in some ways, it's almost like a roadmap.
That's right.
To how to get through this. And also, let me say this, so I don't have to say it right at the end, because sometimes you run out of time. If you like my Strang Report on YouTube and Rumble, please sign up for it, subscribe, hit the little bell. You'll be notified when we're on live. We're on live every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. You can also sign up for my Strang Report newsletter, which I'm remembering. I have a deadline this afternoon. I better get it done. It's delivered to your inbox, and you can sign up for that by going to stevestrangbooks.com. And also you can find out about this book, which I am not talking about on this podcast, but I couldn't help
it. That's a good book, though. I read that one. That's a good book.
Well, you know, in a very different kind of way, I'm addressing some of the things that you are. You're doing it from a different perspective. But what I found as a publisher, and I've published over 1,500 books, is a lot of times there'll be a good message. Some catch on, like Jonathan Cahn's book, Return of the Gods, has really caught on. Other books are kind of, people say, well, you know, this is good, but it's good for someone else, or someone else needs to read it. Todd, I want you to make a case for why people need to stop all the stuff that's going on, going to work, going to church, doing the sports or hobbies or whatever people are doing, reading other books, and read this book. And then we have a little bit less than 10 minutes. I want you to just walk through and make the case verbally for what the reader will get when they read the book. And I also want to tell the viewer and the listener to forward this to other people. Put it on social media. Let's get the word out, because it's very important, especially for the body of Christ. This is a book written for people that are believers in Jesus. You've got to believe in Jesus to come out from among them.
That's true.
And hopefully that will then help us to be the leaven that you talked about, Todd, to influence other people, because each of us have a role. We can't just leave it to the kind of big name televangelist or ministers like Mario Murillo, or leave it to the Todd's ministry, or even my ministry, Charisma Media. We all have to do our part.
That's right.
And a book like this is to motivate you and give you a roadmap. So Todd, why don't you just tell people why they need to read this book?
Amen. You know, this is a divine strategy that the Lord has given me. You and I both know there's a history here. A lot of people just see now, they don't know. This has actually been building up for many, many years. And everywhere I go, Steve, the biggest question that people ask me is, what can I do? What can I do? There's a lot of frustration. There's a lot of people that feel weary right now. There's a lot of people that are so just down about the way that things are going in our culture and our nation. And the thing is that we're not defeated. God brought us in the world for this specific hour. And so he knew when he was going to bring us here. And I believe he's made us for such a time as this. And a lot of people look to somebody else to your point, do the hard lifting, the heavy lifting. But I believe God is calling many people that have been hidden in this hour. And he's raising up people that were hidden for the, you know, he's given you a message in your heart. What this book does, it literally lays out the issue. And then we want to give the solution. So here's the problem, but here's how we fix it. And in the scripture, God gives us every single tool that we can overcome. You know, if you think about it, it's a fixed fight. Satan's a fallen archangel. God is the God of heaven and earth, the creator of all things. We're on the winning team. And so as Christians, we can't be doom and gloom, even though it's very egregious to watch all these things playing out. There's always a solution. There's always a way that we can walk in complete victory in accordance to the scripture, but we've got to utilize the tools that God has given us. And so that's what we lay out here. We lay out the plan of the elites. We lay out separating from the Babylon system, what that looks like. What does it mean to be consecrated? What does it mean when the scripture says, be ye holy, for I am holy? And what happens when you do that? How does the Holy Spirit use you and anoint you? Because God is a good father, but he waits on us a lot of the time. And if we're still allowing open doors of sin in areas in our life where we're not consecrated, you know, we can't be used to the fullness of what God has. But if we truly take this to heart and say, yes, I'm gonna show up. I'm going to be like Isaiah and say, send me. And we then the Lord will use us. and he'll do extraordinary things. I mean, in the last 3.5 years, I would never imagine the journey that the Lord has taken me on, Steve. But I think it's because of the obedience of my wife and I, where we said yes, and we were willing to take a risk and be comfortable with being uncomfortable. God was able to use us, and it's all him. He's opened so many doors. But this strategy, I mean, rethinking church. You know, you mentioned seeker friendlyism, why we got to get back to the basics, why we got to get back to the scripture and teach the entirety and restore the foundations. In chapter 8, I talk about our identity in Christ, because if we don't understand who we are, we're not going to be able to understand what we're able to do. I fully believe it is Satan's worst nightmare that the ecclesia, the body of Christ, would actually understand the authority that we have in the name of Jesus, and that we would walk that out. Could you imagine if the body of Christ woke up today and said, we know who we are, we know what we're capable of doing, we're going to start pulling down the strongholds, we're going to declare and decree, we're going to go out, and we're going to speak words of life over this nation, we're going to get people saved and set free and healed and delivered. It would be a game changer, just that. Because that is what the Lord has asked us to do. So we get back to the basics. We restore the foundations, our identity in Christ. Chapter 9, I talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit and why we have to guard the anointing, why it's so important to have the anointing, to walk in the unction of the Spirit of the living God, to hear his voice, that we don't have to run to and fro and everywhere around chasing different winds of doctrine, that we can hear from the Holy Spirit. And that his word, it'll be in accordance and sync with the scripture. It'll bear witness in our spirit, and it'll be confirmed in the mouth of two or more witnesses in most cases. And then I talk about the end time harvest. You know, there's a lot to be excited about. I often say it's the best of times and the worst of times at the same time. Sure, there's awful things that are happening in our world, but the church is in the world. We're not of the world. So what if we started operating in every day? We just got up and said, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me today? You know, give me divine appointments today. Let me be about your perfect will today. Could you imagine if we all did that every day? I'm telling you, it would be a game changer. So this is what God wants to do. He wants us to come out of this Babylon system. If we watch the mainstream corporate media, even for like 10 minutes, and I'm even talking like Fox News, for 10 minutes or so, you watch it, you're going to get down because the world is on fire. It's a total disaster. But that's why we're citizens of heaven. We're in it, but we're not of it. So, you know, there's a harvest out there. And if you make it about the business of the Lord, if you say, Lord, I'm going to make it about souls, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to have financial challenges. The Lord is going to impart the Red Sea for you. Literally. I mean, you're going to have all kinds of things that you would never imagine happen because God is guiding you. He's going to take you from glory to glory because you're doing his work. And so these are things that the enemy doesn't want us to understand.
And then in the last minute that we have, tell what the Underground Railroad for the remnant is.
Yeah, that sounds a little crazy. You know, God is building an infrastructure right now. And look, I'm going to tell you, times are probably going to get tougher. But here's the thing. He's connecting his remnant people. Those that it's just the people that really love the Lord, that want to, you know, be about his business, do what his word says. He's connecting us in this hour, just like how he connected you and I, Steve, over the years. And we've been able to foster a friendship. And it's just a divine appointment. And this is what God is doing, is he's connecting those of like mind so that we can share with one another. We can stand with one another. We can sharpen one another, and we can partner together. And so that's what he's doing. He's putting together this infrastructure right now. And so don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. I know it looks crazy, but we got to remember wherever there's a remnant, it means God is not done moving. And this book is going to lay out all these different things. And finally, the last chapter is for such a time as this. And I believe that will encourage you. There's a calling on all of our lives that we're meant to say yes to what God has. And if we do that, we're going to see extraordinary things.
Well, thank you, Todd Coconato. That was great. Rapid fire. The book, of course, gets into so much more depth. And I encourage people to share this podcast with others. Tell people about it. Get the book yourself. Probably the fastest way is on Amazon or one of the other booksellers. But also, I hope that you will go to mycharismashop.com. That's our website. We'd love to have you as a customer. We have so many good books there, not only Todd, but others. And this book just came out last week. It came out on the 4th of July. I know a lot of people will be watching this later. And I am so excited about it, and I'm glad that you were able to fit in time to be on my Strangle Report podcast. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for being so bold and standing up. I know enough about your story to know that it's not an easy road, but I really believe that the Lord has raised you up and that you have articulated this message so well. come out from among them, Todd Coconato. Why we were made for such a time like this. Let me give you the last word in the last few seconds.
Well, thank you, Steve. Again, the honor is mine. I just want to thank you for pouring into the younger generation. And, you know, the Lord is really using you, especially in this hour. And so we're encouraged that what God is doing. And I would highly recommend, if you can, get the book. I think it's going to bless you. And it's really a strategy. Like Steve said, it's a roadmap. And what it's meant to do is set us up for success. So thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in again. Remember, I'm on every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern time live. Be sure to hit the little bell that means that you're actually notified when we're on live. I've been told by the staff that a lot of people are signing up, and that's always encouraging. And of course, these are online basically forever. We use them on our website at charismamag.com, charismanews.com, and in lots of other ways, just trying to get the word out. And one of the biggest ways that we get the word out is through books like this. And Todd is a new author. This is a new book, and I just hope that you will check it out. It's really worth reading. Thank you, and God bless you.
In an upside-down world, there is only one way to stay grounded. Life is full of twists and turns, successes and setbacks. How can you reach your God-given potential and achieve your dreams? With over four decades of reporting on the move of the Holy Spirit around the world, Stephen E. Strang has firsthand experience of how the Holy Spirit has led him on a remarkable journey of faith and a successful life. In his new book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World, he will invest his true life lessons into the hearts of readers as he reveals his secrets to having a successful life led by the Holy Spirit. Go to booksbystevestrang.com to pre-order your copy today.